Welcome everyone to today's OPAL online session about evaluating websites and web content. My name is Tom Peters, the OPAL coordinator. Today is November 8th, 2006, the day after Election Day. I want to welcome everyone to this program, which is being sponsored and organized today by the Library of Congress. We have a wonderful group of librarians from the Library of Congress that are going to be speaking with us today about how to evaluate websites and web content. So it's my pleasure to turn it over to Judy Grace from the Library of Congress, who will introduce today's primary speaker. Welcome, Judy.
Thank you very much, Tom. One thing to do before we get started, we probably have some new people. If you would like, our programs are quite interactive. We invite you to use the text chat. Just type your message, and one of us will always be monitoring the text and can see your questions, and then we'll incorporate them in the program. If you have access to a microphone, you are welcome to speak to us as well. You can do that by holding down, and I see Judy S. wants to speak. I'll let her have the floor in just a second. For everyone else, you just would click on the microphone or hold down the control key, and then you can speak. Now, Judy S., you had a 1 in your little blue bubble. I'm going to turn it over so you can say something. Go, Judy. Well, perhaps Judy hit the control key by accident, but that's how you do it. You'll hit the control key, a little blue bubble will come up next to your name and a little number saying your order in speaking. So if you'd like to speak, we welcome comments. Please do so. And you see the R by Tom's name. He is recording this so that you can go back later. In addition, we have two handouts that we are going to be using in this program. They are web pages up on the OPAL website, and we will be giving you those URLs so that you can, we'll use them in the book in this presentation, but you can also go to them on the OPAL site and use them from there. So that's a little bit of the housekeeping. We'll do some introductions now, and after introductions, we'll tell you how we're going to proceed. My name, as you know, is Judy Graves. I coordinate this web conference program here at the Library of Congress, and I am here with Chris Prusen and Peter Armenti, and I'll let them introduce themselves now. Chris?
Hello, everybody. It's great to be here with you today. I am a digital reference specialist here at the library, along with Peter, and working with Judy. And we're hoping we can give you some good information to take away with you about evaluating web content and websites. And it's going to be, we please invite you to contribute, because it's going to be really a conversation and a discussion about what you found when you're looking at sites, and we're trying to compile evaluation criteria. So please jump in, contribute, talk with us, and we'll all learn something today. Thanks.
Now, Peter knows he's not being heard. Let's give him, are you ready to try one more time, Peter? He's checking. And he'll let me know when he's ready to introduce himself. And we want him here because Peter is handling all of the technical side of all of this. Sometimes I cut out also. Ooh, Nicole, thanks for saying that. Now, Peter's going to say hello by chat. Please. Judy S. Okay, Judy does not have a microphone. Okay, great. People are using the chat, and we're communicating. Please use your chat, and either Peter or I or Chris will be monitoring this, so we incorporate your comments. Here's what we want to do. We have been discussing this topic for years now as the web has matured. Both Chris and I have gone out and just researched. There's a lot of good material out there, lots. And for our purposes, though, we looked at quite a few examples of different checklists and things to use to evaluate web pages, and we just decided to sort of synthesize some of that into something that we felt appropriate for web conferencing as a medium and also for video conferencing, because we do the same program as a video conference also. So that's sort of a little bit of a background and why we decided to put something together that was a synthesis that would work within the two formats that we use when, for talking to folks out there. So that's a bit of a background. Now, how are we going to do this? We have compiled some websites that we're going to use to sort of discuss some things that you need to be aware of when evaluating websites. We've got a number of websites for everyone to go and investigate, and that's part of the interactivity. We're going to invite you to go off on your own and click around and look at some of these things. And then, as Chris said, we want this to be a discussion. We want this product from the from this particular conference to be better than the sum of its parts. So we really think that everyone here has an opportunity to contribute. That said, what we want to do is now find out a little bit about the people who are here. So using the text chat, would you let us know if you're a student, an interested researcher, a librarian, what have you? Let us know something about you and what part of the country you're from. And I'll relinquish the microphone in case there's somebody out there with a mic that wants to speak. And I see we have some, I don't see anyone, no one else is brave enough to try a microphone. Okay, but we have a huge number of people from all over the country. Wonderful. Kentucky, Massachusetts. It's flying by so quickly, I can't see everybody.
Yes, I'll try my microphone. This is Austin in Tallahassee.
This is Jill in Buffalo.
Thanks for being brave enough to try your microphones. That's really what we want. We want to have discussion and dialogue. Now, I see that we're all over and many people are researchers, are librarians, and that would tell me that you've also explored the notion of evaluating websites. Yes or no?
And we teach the students how to evaluate the websites as well.
Yes. In fact, some of the people we researched and some of the things we mentioned on our handout come directly from student documents or documents on how to teach students website evaluation. This is wonderful. So I know this is going to be a great class for all of us. And I'm sure that you all will be able to contribute to our knowledge as well. Now, a little bit more in the way of logistics. We do have these two handouts, and we're going to, yes, Joanna, we're going to also put these up in just a minute. So take a moment in text chat right now, and let's brainstorm some good components, evaluation components. What do you want to look for when you evaluate a website? Just freeform brainstorm right now. Type, and if you want to speak, I'll relinquish the microphone as well.
Who's publishing it?
I see authority, navigation, affiliation, who sponsors it, who, what, when, corroboration of information, sources, date created, design. Nicole says, I don't think it's just about the author, but also about the publisher. Okay, Joy, lack of ads. Don, content management. Bias by Nicole. And Tom again talks about how ads are presented. Updated information, whether it's usable or slow dial-up. Clean design, navigability. Excellent. All of these are important. Now, Now that we have a basis for what we're going to discuss, what I'm going to do is put up a website, and I'm going to ask you all to go to look at it and then to tell me, or to tell us, actually, not me, to talk about us, what we think of this particular website. So one moment while I get a website for us to check.
Well, as we expected.
Yeah, Tom mentions a snail mailing address too. ACT, great acronym. Purpose. Okay, we are at a website, dihydrogen monoxide, excuse me, the homepage. Why don't you take a look at this and tell me what you think of it? So we have a lot of wonderful comments. Who's behind it? Somebody hates the ads. Who's Tom Way, the copyright holder? Hold that thought, because we do want to know more about the author and the authority of this website. Babs is saying content veracity not implied. All great comments. I'm going to put up another. Now, no one has said anything about the graphics or the organization of the information, and no one has said anything about the links that are here on the right-hand side. These are all wonderful, verifiable links. They are tried and true. So you've got good links. You've got the notion that they want your feedback. It is there are no flashy graphics on this. This is easy to download. So all sorts of things that you mentioned in your first discussion of what it is that you look for in a web page. And when I put up this web page, all of a sudden there's a different layer of comments that you've come up with. So again, what we look for first came off the top of your head, but then when you see a site like this, you have to go deeper because it fulfills the requirements that you gave me at the beginning. It does tell who's done it. It does describe what it is. It's clean, good links. So again, what we see on first blush and then what we see when we take a moment to investigate are two different things. I'm going to put up another website, and I want you to tell me what you think of this one. Well, it seems like I'm having some trouble with getting some of these to work. What I'm going to do is switch so you all can have the URL to go to our handout so we can click on things together. Okay. Margaret talks about from a school, the site was blocked by a filtering system. Really? Firewalls, but also filters, Chris. Now, this is the handout for today. And the site I was looking for, I have a feeling it was blocked from a number of places. It's actually a group that looks quite legitimate, but then if you dig below the surface, you find that it's a hate site. This one, though, should get to you. What we wanted to do was look at these sites for discussion. These, you'll see, are all on, guess what, Congress. And you're at the Library of Congress, so we thought that this would be appropriate. What I'd like for you to do right now is to look, just click around at these different sites and see what you think about them based on what we've talked about as our first pass. And then as we looked at that other website on water, what you thought about it in that second pass. So I'm going to give you about 5 minutes or so, click around to all of these, and then we'll pool our knowledge about what we get from these particular sites.
Just a little hint. There's something that no one has mentioned, I've noticed, in the various comments that we've had about something to look for. So kind of plant that in your brain. About criteria that we don't necessarily think of
right off the bat. Oh, good. Thomas has put in the dialog box, the little green arrow is the back button in this embedded browser. Yes. So you can go click off, and then you can come back. Also, what I'm going to do is put the URL for this web page in the text chat so you have that so you can click on. Actually, Jim, what I, maybe it's the problem with the scripts. I went to it in a separate browser, and evidently some people went to it. It is on the surface, it is a wonderful looking site, but then as you read, you learn more. So let me put the URL for the handout in the dialog box.
Another one thing that I've done is copied and pasted the outline into a Word document, then worked from that. And you can open up your separate browser from that document.
Right, and actually these handouts that we're giving you are Word documents that Tom turned into web pages so that we could use them inside this web conferencing tool. In fact, if you'd like these URLs, you can just send us an email message and we'll be happy to send them to you. Now please, I see people are going to other sites. That's not part of what we want to do right now. We want to just talk about the top group Part 1, sites for discussion. So evidently people have gone all around. What was it that you noticed about these particular, this first group? What was the determining factor in these? The content's the same. What's different?
Generally, when I work with students, I make it a point to say things that come from a .gov suffix are... they have to be evaluated by the government before they're posted.
So Nicole mentioned something about the domain, .gov. Anything else about this particular series? The one thing that you can think about when you look at these, yes, they're all about Congress, but one's a .gov, one's a .net, one's a .com, one's a .org, and a second one is a .org. And the one, and even the two .orgs are very different. Yeah, .nets can be frightening. But the thing about this is that right away, the domain is going to tell you something about authenticity of the site. Then, I mean, we all look up what the latest information is that you have. In 1/20th of a second, you start to make up your mind about whether or not a site is worth investigating. The second part of this is that even the .org site, which should be sort of safe, they are different and not necessarily of value. Nicole talked about .gov sites being vetted. Our sites go through a heavy amount of quality review before they are online. But again, I would also caution you to look at, yes, it's a .gov site, but whose party is in power and whose party has control of what kind of a website and what government in what country. So just the term, you know, the blanket statement about government sites being vetted, think about it before you say something like that. Now, that was the main point, to look at domains and what they can tell us. If you go on further, you would also want to talk about other parts of the domain, whether it has a tilde, whether it's not a person's personal site at an EDU. If a professor is espousing a personal opinion on their portion of a university website, maybe it isn't objective and non-biased. So again, they're all portions of a URL to consider when looking at whether the site is biased or not. Now, what we wanted to do under part two of this, Sites for Exploration, was to sort of take a hypothetical search that kids in middle school. Oh, excuse me. I see we've got people who want to speak. Let me relinquish.
Yes. My friend and I like to visit the whitehouse.gov website, and just especially around Christmas time, so we can kind of see how the different rooms in the White House are decorated for Christmas. And one time my friend typed in what she thought was whitehouse.gov, and she was looking at the different pictures, and she says, "Look, George Bush has a picture of Dolly Parton over the mantle." And I said, "What?" And she said, and we talked about it for a few minutes, and I said, "Well, what is that?" And she said, "It's, well, the domain is whitehouse.org.
Anyone else? Definitely. Definitely. We have other stories that go along with this as well. You can sit on a .org. You can have a .com. Even the Library of Congress .com or .org, there are some surprises out there. So just knowing the domain is key. Now, what we wanted you to do with this, some people talked about teaching students, and in truth, we do this program for teachers as well. So we came up with a, yeah, Babs, you're right, it was a porn site. So what we wanted to do was take a hypothetical search that we knew middle schoolers would go for, but this would also work for high school, also works for college, and to see what would happen if we did the Civil War. Now, if we have anybody out there that is elementary and they want to look at dinosaurs, we put that one up there too. We did that one with some teachers, elementary teachers. But for the most part, I thought you all might enjoy seeing what you can find with the Civil War. Again, you're going to see the .com, .gov issue, but you're going to see a few other things as well. So take a moment and look at this. And I'll try to, Joanna, would you explain your question a bit more? I understand. You mentioned a tilde in a website. I have a monitor that's all going out and it's sort of shady. A tilde indicates that it's a personal website. So you could have www.virginia.edu/tilde-graves. And that would mean that that's my personal site inside the University of Virginia website. And that would also mean that what I'm going to say in I've got control of in my directory. So that because I'm on an EDU site, people would think I'm a reliable source. But when you see the tilde, you know that's a person's domain. Joanna, also, if you want to learn more, we've included some resources on our other handout that you can look at, and you can learn all about the domains and the other portions of a URL. We just wanted to touch on it in this brief time. We've already used 30 minutes and had a great conversation so far, and we want to take you through a few more items. Barbara, can you connect me to the current page? I'll put it in right now.
What we usually do when we do the workshop as a video conference is that we like to get your input. So those of you who maybe have students that you would be studying either of these categories, Civil War maybe for the middle and older kids, and dinosaurs maybe for the younger kids, maybe you'd like to just choose something to explore, tell us what it is, and then come in with some comments. Again, the point of these was that most of the time we know that students will do a search and just put in a main subject heading, and then we'll generally browse and select things from their first page of hits. So these websites that we've chosen actually do reflect a search strategy very similar to that. And so if you all would sort of like to play with those and come back with some comments about these different sites in any of these categories, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Are already you know, doing the same kind of thing that we're attempting to do today, and that is, you know, share and discover search strategies and evaluation strategies. And so we're, Judy and I are learning from you on how to construct this. The point about this was to create an interactive exercise to learn about the various things to look for, have a conversation and a discussion, and obviously it can be scaled to whatever level you're dealing with on a day-to-day basis. So many college and university sites do already include a kind of evaluation set of information within the library's university library site. Often when we've asked elementary or you know, middle or high school teachers if this is a category that they talk with their students about, we have had mixed responses regarding whether they do discuss this kind of careful examination of the sites before kids run off and do their assignments.
Okay, now does anyone have any comments about these? There are some primary source sites, there are some partisan sites here, there are some unbiased sites. What's your impression of some of these? Remember, this is what you get on the first page of a search via Google. Dorothy and Margaret, perhaps you need to do a sound check. We can't hear you. Margaret says that she notices that several sites, such as the CivilWar.net resource, include images, photographs without giving sources. And I believe some of those images do come from the Library of Congress collections. Okay. Yes, indeed. Anything else? Yes, Pat, very low volume. And I'll turn up mine just to make sure I'm fine. So if anyone has any other comments, do some reflect a bias or a personal interest? Is a .com site a bad thing? Again, these would be sites that you'd want to have students evaluate. And what I'm going to do now is put in the evaluation checklist that we created so we can look at it and talk about it.
Just a brief thing about Wikipedia is that people go around and around about it, about whether or not it's accurate. And I think quite a bit of the time it is accurate, but it should never, and it's okay in my opinion, but it should never be the student's only source of information. They should always be able to back it up or look around at other things and compare. And I think that should be true for even books we have in the library or others. You should always be able to compare it to something else and see if there's any discrepancies.
Great. That's the main reason we put that one in there, so we'd have this particular point being made. Although, if you remember, a few months ago, there was a discussion about a Wikipedia article being completely inaccurate and libelous on someone's character. Pat had a question. Pat, I hope you'll type in your question. What I wanted to do now is take you to the page that we created for website evaluation. And again, so many people out there have some wonderful, wonderful evaluation checklists. And again, this one was not made for one age level or another. We considered the fact that we just wanted to create a synthesis page that would be easy for people to sort of see what sort of information we look for. And I think, John, do you have a question? Mary says she doesn't advocate Wikipedia because students won't verify the information through other sources. They tend to use Wikipedia exclusively. So here is the page that we created. And as you can see, we looked at it not from the divisions that you gave us mentioned first, but rather from the behavior you all exhibited. When we did a brainstorm, we asked for basic things, and again, that's what you see right here. The page loading, is it quick over a modem or whatever, advertisements, author, images, grammar and spelling, links, navigation. This is what you said to us first. And then, once we took you to another page, you looked a bit deeper. You looked at the content, the information quality, vocabulary, what other things it had with it, the links to other pages, and you went more deeply into the authorship and bias. So that's sort of why we thought this would be a good way to structure the page that we've got. Yes, Joy says some schools block Wikipedia, and Judith, another one problem with verifying information is that it's often the same incorrect information and it's repeated. Yes, but that's why we want people to go to multiple sites and look more deeply. Sometimes I'll just go straight to about the 10th page in the hit list just to see what else is out there. But anyway, here's our page, and then you have the conclusions, and then we have some website verification tools that we want to talk about now. Does anyone have any comments about this particular handout? Okay, everyone is quiet. So what I wanted to do now was to talk more about authorship and verification.
There's two columns. I don't. What's the first column and the second column? Is that on going back and looking at the site a second time, or a second person evaluating?
We thought we'd do different sites with this one and two, but I think I like your idea also of having one person looking at it and the other person looking at it, and then comparing to make sure to see, because people have different impressions. So I think I like your idea better. And Mary says this is good for college level, but middle and high school students won't go through that much content. They need something quick and dirty. You are right. This is way too much information for that level. And again, I'll say that we didn't target it that way. We targeted it for a discussion among our peers so that we could just cover a lot of material quickly. But you're definitely right. This is not appropriate for those levels. Tom says establishing an organization's or an individual's credentials online can be very thorny. Yes, it can. But luckily for us, we have access to a couple of tools that are part of a browser that allow us, or that are commands that a browser recognizes, excuse me, that allow us to find out who these people are. And I'm going to work with a site that I think everyone knows, and that's a site about Martin Luther King. And I'm pretty sure you all are all familiar with it, so I'm going to type this in the text chat so everyone can click on it and go to it. Stacy is right. This is a site sponsored. Well, she says it's sponsored by the Ku Klux Klan. I would like for you to go to this site and check it out. If you haven't seen it before, look at it now. And then we're going to do a little exercise. Jill wants to speak.
Yes, this is Jill in Buffalo. I'm at a school library. My computer blocks this site. I'm going to have to get it unblocked. It's a wonderful teaching tool.
But Jill, don't be in such a hurry. because what we did on this is kind of scary. So many people link to this that it's boosted its with the Google algorithm, relying somewhat on number of links. And this has boosted this site to come up on the first page of the hit list. So let me show you all how a good tool is making this site more visible to everyone. So let's look at how this happens. Okay, did everyone get this page? We're at networksolutions.com. This is a great site for learning about others. And what you do is you just type the domain name of the website into the search term. See, domain name. And I think the domain name of that, let's try it. I'm going to type in martinlutherking.org. Well, it seems not to be coming up in this particular browser, so I think I'm going to try this in an alternate browser. Oh, here it comes. Good. It took a while. Here we go. Now, you have to scroll down because I can't control your scroll bar. And then you'll see that martinlutherking.org, you'll see everything you wanted to know about this. Don Black from the Stormfront Incorporated in West Palm Beach, Florida, is the owner of this domain. And it gives you every bit of information you want to know about this person. I really do like this particular organization's Who Is feature. It gives you so much more information. What you can do then is go to the stormfront.org website and you can learn exactly who they are and what they espouse. But that's pretty much how you start backtracking to find out who's here. Now, the interesting thing about this is what happens when you do a search in Google on this particular website. So I'm going to go to Google and we're going to try that. Now, you can do this too, but I'm going to type in Martin Luther King. And if you look, you can start to see the Martin Luther King sites. Now, the last time I tried this, the Stormfront site came up number 4, close to the top. I'm not seeing it. It's the first one. Okay, yeah, it's right up here at the top. It's right under the blue sponsored link. Scary, isn't that? And I can tell you why. Because there is on the handout the ability to do a links check. Let's see. I'm going to pull up the handout again so that we can look at what exactly you can do in addition to this. See, just one moment. I'm going to take us to AltVista, and we are going to do a link search so you can see who links to this particular site. So one moment while I do a little typing. Okay, we're at the AltVista site, and on the handout, you'll have this information. I'm going to type in link, colon, HTTP, colon, slash, slash, and then the web page URL. Okay. Oh, let's see. Judy says, the computer I'm on is filtering this. What happened when you put the URL up? It says a WebSense category, racism and hate, is filtered. Okay, when I put the URL up, it good for you. You've got a filter that's working on that. But you know, I wonder if parents at home have those same sorts of filters. I doubt it. That's a whole lot to keep up on as a parent when you're just trying to make it through the day and cook food and keep them clean. Speaking as a mother of 3, who's had to learn a lot of this material as an adult. Yeah, you're on school-based servers. In AltVista, I did the link colon protocol, and I came up with 2,570 hits, results for martinlutherking.org. That means almost 2,500 people or websites linked to this one site. Now, I want you all to take a look at who's linking. a library at the in Vermont, an EDU, Brigham University Libraries links to it, a blog links to it, Ohio EDU links to it, the Open Initiative links to it, then the White Survival Net links to it, notinkansas.us links to it, pieman.org/Nazis scum. All of these people link to this website. A lot of people with good intentions link to this website, raising it in the listings of Google to number one beyond the sponsored link. To me, that's also something that we need to look for and be aware of when we start linking to sites that are good sites for us to use as teaching tools. And we have 8 minutes left, so you all have a lot of experience, and I've done a lot of talking at this point. It's time for me to relinquish this and let you speak. Is everyone busy trying the link protocol? Let me type it. I would like for you to go to Google or go back to the Alta Vista page and...
I guess what you're saying is that we could still use this as an example, but we should put it on a handout rather than linking it on our page. I would hate to lose this ability to show even teachers, you know, the things that are out there that they need to be aware of.
I think that's a great point. I'm of the opinion that I don't want to put Stormfront on a web page, but I would definitely put it in a handout, and I would definitely do this exercise so people could see the power of linking inside a search engine's algorithm and what it does.
Does anybody know what sort of the average number of links is to a website? So it was 2570, if I remember correctly, for that website. I just did the same thing for Opal Online. It was 878. So I'm wondering, what's the average? Does anybody know?
Every time I do this particular site, it comes up with this amazing number. Those of us who have great websites, we just have to beat the bushes and get more people to link to us. Margaret made a comment. Let me read Margaret's comment. The blog explosion makes website evaluation that much more important, definitely. Now more than ever, anyone can publish anything online and have excellent visibility. Right. And how do you check the credibility? Karen P. says you could link it without using the dot. Use a DOT, the word, and it won't be picked up as a link, but the person will still know what it is. That's a good idea. Peter, the numbers aren't always accurate. Stacy, how do I unmute my audio? Tom, how about that?
Let me check. You're trying to do your voice over IP is not working, and you think it's because you've got it muted? Try Alt-Shift-D, D as in dog. Yeah, so Judy, I did the same thing, and I found almost 600,000 links to www.loc.gov.
Oh, yes, I know. We're linked all over the place. I have done a couple of those things myself. There are some other commands that work, and I've tried this in Google and other search engines as well with a varying number of links, and it has to do with the search algorithms of each one of those sites. But again, what we've tried to tell you here in our last 4 minutes is that everyone, we all now have some association with the web. We know that there are things that we pick up on immediately based on the fact that we're all visual people looking at televisions and such. But then when you take a second pass, you look even deeper at the content and you're more sophisticated. But how many people actually do that? 1/20th of a second is the amount of time we now use to judge a website. And then the other big point we wanted to make was that you can look for authorship and in a good tool, and you can also use commands in these search engines to find out who's linking to what as another means of verifying authenticity or credibility of a website. And we have 3 minutes left. Does anyone have any comments or questions?
Judy, could you come back to the dihydrogen monoxide side? I think I know what's up with that, and I want everyone else to make sure they know about this.
Well, what I'm going to do is go put up the website itself, and then we'll click straight to it. 1 second. Stacy has a question. Is if our schools block these sites, we won't be able to show these to students. But Stacy, you can use the dinosaur sites. And I've got a whole host of other links that I was able to find that are not objectionable sites, but that still help you make the case for looking more closely at these. Let me put my email so that you could get those from me.
But also be able to make a case with their tech people that to unblock them for teaching purposes. You know, just the time frame that she needs them.
Yes, Nicole, the tree octopus. In fact, that's one of the ones I was going to share. And I have about 10 other good links that are benign in terms of filtering, but that also are rather on the surface. You think they are real, but then you get at that second point that, oh, no, they're not. And then you can still make the case for authenticity and veracity of the site and verifying where it comes from. And again, you can do link, and you can go to the Network Solutions Show Me site. Susie says you can take some screenshots using the computer that's not filtered and then show the students the screenshots. Right. And you also have to remember that some schools do have permissions in place. Parents give permission for students to use the computer and go to the web, so that you also are working with the trust of your parents. So again, I would sort of stay away from the stormfront sort of sites, but look more at the content side of sites. So you have my email address. Chris can put hers in as well. We would be happy, and I think, Austin, you'd like this also. Please use our email and send this request to me, and we'd be happy to get all of these out to you. I see that it's now 3 o'clock. And any other comments that you'd care to make that would improve what we do, we would also appreciate. So thank everyone for coming.
Judy, what's the link to the DHMO that reveals the true nature of this website?
There's not one. You have to, if you go inside the help area, I mean, or if you go inside and look at the about and all of that, you're going to find out what this is all about. This is actually a benign site that was put up tongue-in-cheek to point out what you have to do to what you have to be aware of with a good website. Joanna, the best way for you to jog your memory is, well, there are several ways. One, you can listen to a recording of this. Tom will put up a recording. Two, you can go to the URLs that I put in for our handouts and click through them. Three, you can email us, and we will be happy to send you Word documents with these so that if you want to massage them for your particular needs, you are welcome. We are government employees, and there's no copyright involved.
Also, one more way to get the content is the next time you're participating in an OPAL chat room, you can record the session like Tom is doing.
Oh, Karen is asking about where good website design is going. I'm sorry, Karen, that would be a whole different workshop. It used to be you could include all of these at once because the web was so new. But if you would like more information on website design, send me an email address. On the Library of Congress website, there's a great webcast that was put up by two men who are information architects looking at the Library of Congress website and others. And that would be good for your purposes. Nicole asks how to record this. Tom, you're the best person to give that information.
Yeah, under the File drop-down menu in the upper left-hand corner, the first option is to record presentation. That opens up a typical Windows operating system save as file dialog box. When you make a recording, actually two files are created, an HTML file and a Windows Media Audio or WMA file, which contains the audio of the recording. If you upload both files to a web server, point people to the HTML file, they'll get the, what I call the complete playback, the audio, streaming audio, text chat, and URLs visited. Of course, if you just point people to the WMA file, they're just going to hear the audio portion.
Peter's put up, for Karen N. Peter has put up the webcast that I mentioned about website design.
Does that work on a Mac too?
Tom, you've been asked if the record feature works on a Macintosh. Oh, curious that you would ask. Yes, we have a workshop that we do on search strategies connected with the primary source materials on our website. I'm wondering if that might be something you'd be interested in. So Stacy and Nicole, please do exchange your email. If you would look, you are, please do so. We'd be happy. We would really be pleased if a dialogue around these topics were established.